promised. In the first reading, there was a rainbow story. Indeed, the scripture says the creation of the rainbow by God is a sign to Noah and all the children of Noah down through the ages. God put his rainbow in the sky. Do you believe in rainbows? Do you deeply, firmly believe in rainbows? Why? If we had planned that, it couldn't have been better. God bless you. He said just the right. He believes in rainbows because he's seen rainbows. Is there anybody here who doesn't believe in the rainbow? Is there anybody here who's never seen a rainbow? Did you ever see a rainbow? Do you know what it is? Do you know for sure what a rainbow is? After the rain, sometimes the sun hits the moisture and you get these pretty colors across the sky, something like this. Did you ever see that? Good. But this rainbow story reminded me of another one. I wonder if one of you kids could guess, what's the other rainbow story I'm thinking of? It's not in the Bible. Am I getting an answer or just an affirmation? What? Did you hear what she said? Say it out. What? Do you know that story? The wizard? Do you have a rainbow? Come over. This is unbelievable. Come here. Look at this. She has a rainbow on. Here, come up here, man. Fantastic. Step up a minute. If I only had a heart, it says, with the rainbow. Amazing. Amazing. Did you and I plan this ahead of time? Okay. That's fantastic. Is there anybody here who doesn't know the Oz story with the rainbow? Now, this might be a tricky question. We know we believe in rainbows because we've seen them. And we know the story of Oz. Dorothy went beyond the rainbow and discovered Oz. Do you believe in Oz? Do you believe in Oz?
No.
Well, why not? Because he's never been there. And he's never seen it. Well, lest you feel alone, I want to tell you, I don't believe in Oz either. I think the story of Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz is a make-believe story. It's a fantasy story. I don't believe you're supposed to take that literally and believe that sometime 75 years ago or whatever it was, some little girl actually, you know what I mean. How about this one? How about the rainbow story in today's liturgy? That there was a terrible flood that wiped out everything on earth except Noah and his family and the animals two by two that he took into the ark. Do you believe that? It's in the Bible. Do you believe it? You do. Do you believe it literally? Do you think it really happened in history? Okay. Well, that's one approach to it. A lot of people believe that what it says there in the Bible really, really happened, that there was this great flood, and that ahead of time God told Moses, build the ark, take the animals in. But you know, you have a problem if you read the Bible carefully, because they tell the story twice, and in one account he only took two of each animal, and in another version of the story he took seven pairs, I think it is. But anyway, with all due respect, I don't believe the story of Noah and the flood. I mean, I don't believe it really happened at a moment in history. I think it's like the story of Dorothy and the rainbow. It's a story you tell to people, to the child in their hearts, to give them a message. Looks like nobody here believes, probably, in Oz. But there are some messages in that story, like, if I only had a heart. What was the message of that? What's the message of, who was it needed the heart? The Tin Man. And what did that say to you? What does that mean to you, that part of the story? Do you get a message from it? Am I embarrassing you? Do you still love me? How about one of the big people? Are you afraid that maybe you never did get the message? Huh? What is that message there? You teach children at CCD, right? Sure. What is the message? Take the Tin Man or the Scarecrow or the Cowardly Lion. Tell us what the message is.
Well, I think if I had a heart, then I could feel and have compassion and love. I think that was the message.
And do you believe that?
Yeah.
Is there anybody who doesn't believe that? You see what I mean? The story may be a kind of fairy tale, but its message is not only true, it's as true as anything can be. They are the messages of God told through stories. And see, if you believe it literally, then some of the families really got a problem, because in the Bible story, God said to Moses, it'll never happen again. I'll never send a great flood that will wash the people away. Tell that to our sisters and brothers in Bangladesh. Tell that to the people in the countless places on earth, even in our own lifetime, who have suffered the devastation of flood, seen hundreds, sometimes thousands of people washed away. Is God playing games with us? Is God making a joke of us? There must be some message there in that Moses, in that Noah story with the rainbow, that in spite of all the floods and earthquakes and all the terrible things that have happened, would still be true, and God has kept God's holy word. So what is the message way down deep in this story of the flood? Anyone? Are you all embarrassed? But do you still love me? Okay. Well, I'd say the message way down deep. The bottom line, you might say, of that story is, no matter how many floods, no matter how terrible the wars, no matter how horrible and unspeakable the things that you, my children, will ever go through, there will always be a rainbow after the storm. There will always be a new possibility. There will always be a new day. And at last, after all the floods and earthquakes, all the storm, all the suffering and hurt of human subjugation, of sisters and brothers, all the rotten things that people and nature can do to you, there will come a bright golden morning when God will triumph, and all those things will seem like nothing compared to the glory and the joy and the unending light and love of God's rainbow will be there and will not fade away. That's the message. And it's that message that no matter how bad it looks, no matter how awful it gets, believe this. As surely as you believe that after the worst possible storm there can be a rainbow, believe this, that after all the unspeakable hurts and sufferings of humankind, God's light will dispel all the darkness, and a day of glory will come that will never end. And if you believe that, if you really, really believe that, like you believe in the rainbow because you've seen it, if you could get to believe that before you've seen it, it means you've got the gift of faith. And the gift of faith will see you through. And if you've got the gift of faith to see you through, then you can go out into that scorching sun of the desert, and you can last not just for 40 days, but for as long as God lets you be out there under that beating sun. God in you will at last, in God's good, mysterious way, triumph. There's the message. It's that message believed by our grandparents and their grandparents and their great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. It's believing that in spite of everything that hurts them, everything that knocks them down, it's because of that belief that they came through courageously, through all kinds of things, and handed on to us that same belief to see us through. And because of that, we, God's people, this year, this day, this first Sunday of Lent, we can face Lent no matter what it means. If it means sacrifice, we can take it. If it means really, really letting go of something, we can do it. If it means facing the flood, whatever that might mean to any one of us or to all of us together, we believe in the rainbow. We believe God will come with light and life after all of this. We can face Lent. We can face this horrendous international tragedy of a world again at war and believe that God will at last be the victor. But we've got to try to renew, to get hold of, to share that belief in the way and on the terms that it's put in today's liturgy. Look carefully. Listen well. Take to heart what the good news is today. Jesus had to go to the desert. Jesus had to feel utterly, utterly alone. And when he went through this purging process, what did he do? He reached out to lift up the lowly, to embrace the lonely, to give dignity to the downtrodden, healing to the hurting, tenderness to the rejected. And in this letting go of himself for the good of those in need, he became a rainbow for the world. Now what really does that mean for us? What is the practical application of the spirit and the message of Lent? Well, of all the scripture writers, I think that the one who said it best was Isaiah the prophet. And the church meant for the church to hear every time Lent rolls around again, you might say, as the flood is coming on, as the darkness is approaching, symbolized by the heavy colors, the lost alleluias, and all the other signs the church uses, as this darkness comes on, as this spirit of letting go, of penitence, of prayer, of sacrifice becomes the way again for God's people, they're supposed to embrace this penitence in the spirit that Isaiah called them to, or to be more precise, in the way God called them through the words of Isaiah. This, God says, is the manner of fasting, of prayer and penitence that I want. That a person bow down his head like a reed, lie in sackcloth and ashes? Would you call that a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? No. God says, Rather, here's the fasting I want. releasing the those who are bound unjustly, untying the thongs of the yoke, setting free the oppressed, breaking every bond, sharing your bread with the hungry, sheltering the oppressed and the homeless, clothing the naked when you see them, and never turning your back on your own. Then, God says through Isaiah, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your wound shall quickly be healed. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and God will say, here I am. If you remove from your midst all oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, if you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then and only then shall light rise for you in the darkness, and the gloom shall become for you like midday. There's our challenge. Some of us feel moved by the season and by the Spirit to practice personal little penances, to give up ice cream or chocolate, to eat less food each day or on certain days, to abstain from meat. If we decide to do things like that, we are very much in spirit with those who went before us. We are practicing penitence in a very traditional and very worthwhile way, right on with such resolutions. But on this first Sunday of Lent, as the day itself seems gloomy, and the spirit is one of serious, sober reflection, we need to know that all those little penitential practices are useless unless they are part of a greater, grander scheme, which is to be committed, to really be committed, to set free all those tin men and women who feel like they're nobody, that they're useless. To somehow or other, because of our letting go and our service and our lifting up, to turn every cowardly lion among us into a bold and daring witness to Jesus Christ. The strength that oneness with Jesus gives will enable us to take every floppy, sloppy scarecrow and stand them up straight in human dignity and with genuine pride in the presence of God and his or her heart. The call of God to God's people this day is and always was, no matter how many or how often the Christian people through the ages tried to change it, it always was a call to a conversion, to look at, to embrace, and to lift up the poor and oppressed. That was always the bottom line of the gospel. That is the good news. And it's in that involvement of the Christian community that a new rainbow is set in the sky. And one day will come when the rainbow will be there, and it won't go away. It won't fade with the next phase of weather. That's our message. That's our challenge. That's what we're about. And if we hear that message to cite but one perhaps shocking, very challenging example, if we really fast and do penance in the spirit Isaiah spoke of, for an example, those of us who have believed until now that we're right 90% of the time ought to be willing, by God's grace, to discover we've been mostly wrong until now. It would mean being willing to look at one's own family, one's neighbors and those funny, strange people in other lands who have never really made much difference to us in a whole new light as sisters and brothers. You might say certain fragments of the rainbow were being called to make glow over the earth. I get discouraged, as you do. I find the more I understand and really appreciate the message and the challenge of Jesus, the more I find it kind of scary. I need God's help to act on what I believe. I need God's help to practice what I'm right now preaching. But I'm trying. And I ask you to try. I ask you, you might say, to try to see the rainbow and be the rainbow. Be the rainbow for other people. And someday, all of us, in all our colors, in all our characteristics, in all our peculiarities, in all our qualities that God has given us, believe it. Believe it as surely as you believe in the rainbow you've seen. You and I, we together, will become a rainbow that lasts forever.